Nam Mo Myoho Renge Kyo, Nam Mo Myoho Renge Kyo, Nam Mo Myoho Renge Kyo. Hi, friends. Thanks for being here. Thanks for your practice, right? Take a moment to like and subscribe just real quick to help grow the Sangha. It's a Bodhisattva act. And let's get into our friend here. A new chapter, chapter 18, of the BDK translation of the Lotus Sutra. The merits of joyful acceptance, or the benefits of joyful acceptance, or the rewards of joyful acceptance. All those words have slightly different meanings. I just did a video on benefits. You can watch that if you want my thoughts on that. And of course, joyful acceptance is the what we just got through talking about in the previous chapter, right? The mind shift, the paradigm shift, where not only do we see what Shakyamuni is teaching us intellectually, but that we actually perceive that we can do it, that we can accomplish awakening Buddhahood for ourselves, that it is not bequeathed to us, somebody doesn't have to force it into our brain, we don't have to pass a test. The only test that we achieve or pass or whatever word you want to use is our commitment, our resolve. And that resolve leads us to liberating ourselves from craving, clinging, suffering, pain, anxiety, stress. So if we're liberating ourselves from that, what does that avail us to? Must be joyful. Joyful acceptance. Yeah, very logical. All right, here we go. Thereupon, Bodhisattva Mahasattva Maitreya, responding to Shakyamuni's closing of the previous chapter, addressed the Buddha saying, "O Buddha," I'm going to stop saying Bhagavat because it's really not appropriate here. "O Buddha, if sons and daughters of a virtuous family rejoice in hearing this sutra, how much merit do they acquire?" Oh, Maitreya. Let's assume that Maitreya isn't asking for what do I get for my good deeds? It's very samsarically tinged to question, yeah? Let's rather assume that what he's saying is by joyful acceptance, right? How much merit do we acquire by happily accepting what you're saying is really, I think, tied more to how far along the way to enlightenment do we get as a result of accepting what you're saying? How much closer to realizing? But you see how he's just, again, he's just missing the point. What do you mean how much? It's instant. And the merits are really an after-the-fact thing. See, Maitreya is asking the question as though he's collecting brownie points until one day it'll happen. This is the mindset, yeah? How many rules do I have to follow? How many things do I have to do right? How well do I need to learn Gangyo? How many Daimoku do I need to chant per day? Right? That kind of thinking? It's not that foreign. We do that today. What he's missing is what we should know as Lotus Sutra Buddhists, especially through Nichiren, that the enlightenment is instantaneous. The awakening of Buddha nature happens with every exhortation. Namo Myoho Renge Kyo, it just happened. Now, into the next 1,000 moments, right? How many trillions of moments are there in a second? Will I maintain that influence in my samsaric state? That's why we practice. That's why we have to continually. How many daimoku do you need to chant? How many daimoku can you chant? Remember what Nichiren said? He said, I'm at a point now in my practice. I'm paraphrasing, but you'll remember. He said, I feel as though I'm living every moment of the day, and even in my sleep, Namo Myoho Renge Kyo, I'm living the teaching of the sutra, the Myoho Renge Kyo, the enlightenment of Buddha-ness, in every moment of the day. That's the goal. Would it be anything else? It's not like one day we're going to wake up in the morning, chant three times, and suddenly float in the air. It may feel like that. And remember, Buddhism is about attitude and intent, the mind. Wow, if you could chant three times in the morning and suddenly feel afloat in the world of being, right? How many of you have fused with your mandala, chanting fervently for the best possible result in your life and just single-mindedly instantiating Buddha? Let's go, Buddha mind, take over. Be my Buddha-ness. Be me, be my Buddha-ness. However you phrase it, imagine this is your paradigm shift, your new mind. With tremendous commitment, use this mandala to help you bust open that Gohonzon mind so you have a clear Buddha eye. You'll feel it. You'll feel afloat. Time will start being irrelevant. You'll breathe differently. You'll feel it cellularly. I guarantee you. Now be careful when you get up and walk away that you don't stumble, because it can be very, very powerful, right? Decentralizing. So Maitreya asks this question in verse. After the Buddha's parinirvana, if there is anyone who hears this sutra and rejoices in it, how much merit do they acquire? Okay, I guess you could divvy it up like that, right? One day you fuse with mandala and you just, the whole day seems to be almost otherworldly. Well, it is, because all perception is the mind, right? And then the very next day, things just slip into samsara and you're having a tough time. So you could look at, you know, how much can I endure in samsara, coursing as a bodhisattva with my practice? You could look at it that way. Then the Buddha addressed Bodhisattva Mahasattva Maitreya, saying, O Ajita, after the Tathagata's parinirvana, suppose those monks, nuns, laymen, and laywomen, and otherwise wise ones, whether old or young, having rejoiced in hearing this sutra, take leave of the Dharma assembly and go to other places. What happens when you walk away from your altar, yeah? Either dwelling in monasteries or tranquil places, cities, towns, villages, or forests, and teach what they have heard to their parents, relatives, good friends, and acquaintances according to the various capacities of these people, right? Having heard the teaching, they will rejoice and go on to teach it to others. These people, having heard it, will also joyfully teach it to others, because obviously, they will be excited. They will feel relieved, yes? In turn, and so it continues in this way until it reaches the 50th person. All right, here's this I told two friends, they told two friends, they told two friends, and finally it reaches out to the 50th recounting. O Ajita, I will now explain about the merit which this 50th son or daughter of a virtuous family acquires from joyful acceptance. You should listen attentively. So in this case, merit is not only one's own experience, or as I suggested in the Buddhism Reference Volume 2, but the way we interact with the society around us, right? Because merit is more of something for others to see about our accomplishment, our attainment. Whereas reward or benefit is more about what we experience about our attainment, right? So merit may be a more accurate word in this case. So maybe that's what Maitreya meant when he said, you know, we work this hard and we joyfully accept. After all, the Lotus Sutra is all about bodhisattva practice. How will we be meritorious or perceived by others? Which, to that point, you've heard me talk about how we radiate our life condition. It's energy, after all. So you could look at merit that way. But that's just a natural function of the engine of life. Anyway, suppose that in the four hundreds of myriads of kotas of incalculable worlds, there are sentient beings in the six transmigratory states and of the four modes of birth, born from an egg, born from a womb, born from moisture, or born spontaneously. So he's even including mold. Either with or without form, either with or without consciousness. So remember, sentient or insentient beings. Either unconscious or not unconscious, having no legs, two, four, or many legs. And that among the number of such beings, there is a person who seeks to acquire merit and gives pleasurable things to these. Page turning karma is back. acquire merit and gives pleasurable things to these beings. Right? That's one of the paramitas, right? Giving. According to their desire. He gives each of those sentient beings, now they're sentient, gold, silver, lapis lazuli, mother of pearl, agate, coral, amber, and other treasures such as would fill this continent of Jambudvipa, as well as elephant carts, horse carts, and palaces and towers made out of the seven treasures. In other words, he promotes wonderful attitude with good intent. Having performed such acts of giving for a full 80 years, this great donor thinks, I have already given these sentient beings such pleasurable things as they wished. Yet now these sentient beings are old and feeble. They are over 80 years old, with white hair and wrinkles, and they die before long. I should now instruct them by means of the Buddha Dharma. He immediately gathers these sentient beings together, inspires them to by proclaiming the Dharma, and gladdens them by revealing its benefits. In an instant, they all successively attain the first stage of the Shravakas, called the Stream Winner. The second stage, called Once Returning, the third stage, called Non-Returner, and finally the stage of Enlightenment. Free from corruption, entering profound meditations, gaining completely mastery of all, and attaining the eight liberations. What do you think about this? Has this great donor acquired abundant merit or not? Maitreya responds, Buddha, The donor's merit is extremely great, immeasurable, and limitless. Even if this donor had only given all of those pleasurable things to sentient beings, the merit would have been immeasurable. How much greater is this donor's merit after having caused them to attain awakening? The Buddha addressed Maitreya, saying, I will now clarify this for you. This person has given all these pleasurable things to the sentient beings in the six states of existence in 400 myriads of kotas of incalculable worlds and enabled them to attain awakening. The merit he has attained cannot be compared with that of even the 50th person who, after having heard even a single verse of the Lotus Sutra, the mule-holding Enkyo, received it with joy. It would be even less than 100,000th of myriad of kotas of that person's merit. O Ajita, in this way, the merit attained by even the 50th person who rejoices in hearing the Lotus Sutra is immeasurable, limitless, and incalculable. How much more so is the merit of the first person who heard it in the assembly and rejoiced in it? So the first person who, I replaced the word arahant or arhat with awakening, isn't fully awakened. Again, it's another point in the Lotus Sutra where it's shown that the arahat is not a complete perfect enlightenment. The example of this wealthy donor who satiated all the samsaric needs of the people around him, he's a nice guy. He's done wonderful things for them. And when he espoused the teachings of the Dharma, they received it with great joy. But he didn't teach Myoho-ren Geikyo. He taught all of the provisional teachings. And so they all reached this early state of self, because all of his gifts were about desires and self, samsara. They achieved a great deal, but the merit still pales in comparison to full, complete enlightenment, the bodhisattva path. Even 50 layers down, just to aspire to self-manifesting Buddha instantly, so far beyond learning how to behave to one day attain, be given, somehow it's because it's already there. This is the central point. Furthermore, O Ajita, if anyone approaches the monasteries in order to listen to this sutra and hears it for even a single moment, whether seated or standing, through this merit, they will be reborn, right? Birth, death, birth, death, birth, death, birth, death, the next moment, into a place where they will gain beautiful and excellent elephant carts, horses, all of the, their life will attract, because it's open through Buddha-ness, to opportunities for all of these samsaric supports, yeah? Sometimes also linguistically referred to as protection from the Buddhist gods. Well, there are no Buddhist gods, but the point is that we affect our environment. And by changing our attitude and intent, our environment responds. It has no choice, because that environment is of our making. Yeah, it's so simple, and yet in samsara, our ego, that structure we've spent our whole lives creating, really resists. It sounds good, but do we really accept it? And this is the whole point here, yes? Out of palanquins made of rare treasures and will ride on the heavenly vehicle. Moreover, if anyone sits in a place where the Dharma is taught, and if another comes along and they invite that person to sit down and listen, or if they offer that person part of their own seat, through this merit, they will be reborn in a place where Sakra dwells, in the palace, or in the place where Brahma dwells, or in a place where a noble emperor dwells. Their life condition will be more conducive, life-supportive, wondrous, joyful, less stress, less anxiety. All right? It's all about moving the mind from that samsaric toiling at stuff, ownership, toward experience and being. And the support for that being simply comes from our environment, which is part and parcel of what we are, dependent origination. Oh, Ajita, if anyone addresses others saying, there is a sutra called the Myoho Renge Kyo, let us go together and listen to it. And if their instruction is accepted by the other person listening to it for even a single moment, then through this merit, the former person will be reborn in the same place as the bodhisattva who has acquired the dharanis. I need to add that word to the... They will have keen faculties and wisdom. For hundreds of thousands of myriads of lives, moments, they will never be deaf and dumb, nor will they have a fetid breath. Their tongues will never be diseased, nor will they... Do you see all the references back to the Avatamsaka? Their tongues will never be diseased, nor will they have diseases of the mouth. Their teeth will never be dirty, black, or yellow, nor gaped, or gapped, sorry. Nor will any be missing, irregular, or crooked. Their lips will not be drooping, pursed, or twisted, and their lips will never have cankers, scabs, and cracked, or be cracked, misshapen, thick, or fat, black, or ugly. They will have no disagreeable features. Their noses will never be flat or thin, crooked or twisted. They will never be dark-complected with a narrow or long face that is hollow-cheeked or twisted. They will have no mark that is displeasing to others. Their lips, tongues, and teeth will all be very beautiful. Their noses be long, high, and straight. Their faces will be round with their eyebrows arched and long. Their foreheads will be broad and even. They will thus have a perfect human countenance. Whether they be born life after life, they will, wherever they be born life after life, they will meet a Buddha, hear the Dharma, and accept the teachings. As Nichiren said, living every moment of my life in Myoho Renge Kyo. Same thing. Look, Ajita, the merit of that person who moved others to listen to the Dharma is like this. Isn't that exactly the description of a bodhisattva? How much more is the merit of those who single-mindedly listen, teach, and recite this sutra, explain it for others in the great assembly, and practice as they explain to others? That's a biggie. Being mindful, being always aware that you are radiating this Buddha-ness, this Dharma experience, yeah? Thereupon, the Bhagavad, wanting to elaborate on the meaning of this, further spoke in these verses. If anyone hears this sutra in the Dharma assembly and joyfully teaches others even a single verse, and if in this way it is taught from one person to another until it reaches the 50th one, and that's just an arbitrary number, right? The merit that this last person will attain shall be as I will now explain. Suppose there were a great donor who gave things to immeasurable number of people as they wished for a full 80 years. He will see that they are old and feeble, with white hair and wrinkled faces, with gaps between their teeth and withered bodies, and that they will die before long. He will think that he should now teach them and enable them to attain the fruits of the Buddha path. Why did he wait 80 years? That's probably a central part of this example, yeah? He will teach nirvana, the true Dharma, through skillful means, saying, the world is impermanent. Like splashes of water bubbles a mirage. The feeling of repulsion for it should quickly awaken in you. Repulsion. I see that word used a lot too. I'm not sure that's an accurate word, but there is a revolution of sorts, yeah? The repulsion being to set aside all those attachments, to detach from the samsaric avarice for things, permanentizing, yeah? All of them hearing this teaching attain arhatship and perfect the six transcendent powers, the three sciences, and the eight liberations. But they're just arhats. They're not completely, perfectly enlightened, yeah? Because he hasn't taught the Lotus Sutra. He's taught all the provisional teachings, and provisionally giving them samsaric stuff as they wish, just satisfying their desires. He waited 80 years to finally explain some truth, yeah, the Dharma. The merit of the 50th person who joyfully hears a single verse is so much greater than this great donor's that it is beyond illustration. Because the 50th person has heard the Myoho Rengekyo, the Lotus Sutra. The merit of even that 50th person is astoundingly greater than the merit of those who, after 80 years of being given everything they wanted, are taught how to become an arhat. The merit of those who successively hear the Lotus Sutra in this way is immeasurable. How much more is the merit of the first person who heard it with joy amid the Dharma assembly? If there is a person who moves another to listen to the Lotus Sutra, saying something like, this sutra is profound and difficult to encounter, even in thousands of myriads of kodas of kalpas. And if that person's urging is accepted, right, because you can say it all day long, but if you don't have the power of influence or the person you're talking to isn't ready to hear it, no, it doesn't matter how excellent you are in your teaching abilities. And the other one goes on to hear it and listens for a single moment. They've got the right attitude and you offer it to them. The merit that the former person will acquire shall be as I will now explain. Life after life, moment after moment, they will have no diseases of the mouth. Their teeth will have no gaps, nor will be yellow or black. Their lips will be neither fat, thick, or thin, nor will they have a disagreeable countenance. And their tongues will never be dry, black, or short. Their noses will be high, long, and straight. Their foreheads will be broad and even. Their faces will be completely handsome, pleasing to others who see them. They will never have fetid breath, and their mouths will always emit the fragrance of blue lotus flower. I will now explain the merit of the one who approaches the monastery wanting to hear the Myoho Rengekyo, the Lotus Sutra. Wanting to hear the Lotus Sutra, and who joyfully listen to it, even for a single moment. Maybe they hear chanting inside, yeah? Or Gongyo. Later they will be born among devas and humans, and will acquire beautiful elephant and horse carts and palanquins made out of rare treasures, and will ride on a heavenly vehicle, if one is where the Dharma is taught, and invites another to sit there and listen to the sutra. Through the merit which is thus acquired, one will attain the seats of Sakra, Brahma, or the noble emperors. How much more is the merit of a person who single-mindedly listens to this sutra, explaining its meaning and practices in accordance with its teaching? Their merit will thus be limitless. That's that chapter, the answer to one question. So from this, you can see why Nichiren derived in his types of practice when he was asked by an elderly woman, you know, that she's used to practicing these sutras, those sutras. Now, does she need to recite the Lotus Sutra every day, all day? I mean, there were various ways of practicing back in Nichiren's day, yeah? And Nichiren's response is, there are three ways to practice. You can read the entire sutra. That's a comprehensive practice, yeah? You can simply take these two chapters and deeply relish them with your daimoku, the gongyo that we tend to do, which is more of an abbreviated practice, the same merit. Or if your life is in a condition where you simply can't do either of those, simply chanting the daimoku. The daimoku itself, whether you chant it 1,000 times in the morning and 1,000 times at night, or just once a day, or even once a year, if your conviction, your resolve, your joyful acceptance is profound, that you know. Nichiren says, even if you do it once a year, I don't recommend it, because of course we want to be moment to moment like Nichiren, right? In Namo Myoho Renge Kyo, in Myoho Renge Kyo. But that's what he calls the essential practice. And basically, he's running down exactly what Shakyamuni is saying here, right? Even if all you do with this commitment, and that's precisely the point, is we can do many varieties of things, but if our heart and mind aren't in it, if we're not dedicated and knowing, confident, as I always say, that this is instantiating Buddha. That's everything. And of course, with that kind of merit, benefit, reward, why would you stop? Right? But Nichiren is saying, you know, he's in the age of samurai. Sometimes there are other... Staying alive becomes a very big distraction, if you will. So he just wants to give this older woman some comfort. Just stay the course. In moments of struggle, don't be dissuaded. Chant. All right. So once again, thank you for your support. Like and subscribe. Use the resources. If you can, purchase an ebook or a print book, right? Avail yourself of all the free stuff, the podcasts, the documents, and so forth on threefoldlotus.com. Just keep practicing. Keep your practice strong, confident. Yeah, savor it. Savoring your practice. In other words, take your time and really feel it, right? It's really good for the mind of Buddhahood. It's an intense practice. So congratulations on your practice. I will see you in the next one. And that was that whole chapter. So we'll be on, what, 19 next? The benefits obtained by an expounder of the Dharma. So we're taking it step by step here. And we're zipping through this Lotus Sutra. So I hope you're getting some insights out of it. And if you have questions, as always, use the comments section or tlksylvain@gmail, right, to reach me directly. I will respond. Thanks again. I'll see you soon. Bye for now.